Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a special live edition of Can We Talk Radio. I am your host, Raz Williams, and I want to thank you all for listening to us this evening. And guys, tonight's going to be a great show. We're going to be a little bit more focused tonight. We're going to be a little bit more serious tonight. This is a very special show that I've been wanting to do for a long time, and I want to do a show tonight specifically on the end times as it pertains to current events in the world. We're going to talk about the rapid decline of society, the increase of wars, famine. We're going to find out where is the world heading to? Why are we going through so much turmoil? There's a lot to be said about this, guys, and whether you believe in God or not, or anybody can see that the world is becoming a worse place to live in. So there's so much negativity going on all around us from multiple directions, and so tonight is my hope that for those of you listening, that we will clarify and really put into perspective the direction the world is heading in. And more importantly, we want to also discuss what the Bible has to say about the end times as well. Guys, we also have a special guest coming on the show tonight a little later on. He goes by the name of Mr. Dr. Curtis Dodson, a world-renowned teacher on the end times in the book of Revelations, who's going to shed some insight into tonight's show and also answer any questions that anyone may have out there tonight. So Can We Talk audience, I want as many of you as possible to call in, and if you have any questions or comments, we want to hear from you tonight, and let's have some good conversation. We're probably going to open up the phone lines around 8:45, 9 p.m., around that time, so looking forward to hearing from you guys and hearing what you have to say, and So Can We Talk? That's who we are. Let's talk about it. Let's be about it. That's our new slogan, guys. And I want to introduce my co-host for this evening. And I believe we have Nikki on the line. Nikki, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm fine.
All right. I was getting a little concerned there. I was like, where's she at?
No, I'm here. I'm here.
Nikki, so awesome, man. So we missed you last week, Nikki, and I'm not sure if you had a chance to listen to last week's show, but we kind of like finished up the show on the previous week's topic about, gay marriage. And tonight we're going to be talking about the end times, Nikki. So, Nikki, what do you think about tonight's topic?
I think it's a very pertinent topic. I think it's something that, you know, mostly all the topics that since I've been on the show, I think you come up with some very good topics and some very relevant topics. And I think the same about this topic. I mean, because we definitely need to talk about that. We need to put that out there and, you know, to let people understand what we're going through. I mean, everything is laid out right there in Revelations in the Bible about the end times.
Absolutely, and that's a really good point, Nikki. And you know, people always talk about other people like Nostradamus and all this other stuff. And there's a lot of different weird ideas and philosophies out there in the world today. So it's definitely good to put this into perspective and really try to give the people the information that really truly is very pertinent. So, Nikki, I mean, other than that, though, I mean, how's your week been?
It's been busy, you know. It's been busy, you know, the hustle and bustle. But, you know, I just thank God that I'm here and that he's given me enough to be busy with, you know. So it's been busy, but it's been blessed.
Absolutely. It's good to have you on the show, Nikki. Next, I want to go to our next co-host, you know, a permanent member of the show, Mr. Ronnie Ambrose. How you doing, sir?
I'm all right, Raz. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm good, dude. It's good to have you back on the show, Ronnie. And, Ronnie, man, so what do you think of tonight's topic?
Well, I know it's a necessary topic because even though we have faith, and even if you don't have faith, you know, the truth of the matter is, according to Scripture, there are some certain events that are to come. Like, there is a reason to choose to find your salvation in, you know, the Savior. And it's something that you have to think about. You know, it's the reason that you're saved. You're also saved from the wickedness and the consequence of sin and, you know, the effects of sin. But you're also being delivered from the time of tribulation that's going to come on this earth, from like the final judgment before the Father. So, you know, all these things are in the Bible, and I'm excited about bringing them up because a lot of this particular topic you don't really get to catch on your Sunday sermon. And, you know, there might be, you know, one out of three of the prophecy teachers, you know, that you might find on the mainstream channels, you know what I'm saying, that might be accurate. So it's good for the believers to have an awareness of end times, what it means to be saved, what does end times have to do with your salvation, so that you can be a stronger witness. Because I think learning the end times puts a certain urgency on your evangelism. So, I mean, I'm looking forward for it to be a blessing.
Absolutely. And just reflecting what you just said there, Ronnie, a lot of you know, people, you know, and I'll just say this, that the world seems to be asleep. Like, I mean, a lot of people, Christians, those who believe in God and those who do not, really do not have any idea or any clue, really and truly. They just live their lives on a daily basis, day to day, go to work, go home, go to work, go home, and really don't know why we live in this life. Why is there good and evil? Why is there so much problems going on? No one's really got into this topic or really, you know, that they haven't really asked this question. So tonight I think it's a very pertinent time and a, you know, very crucial time to ask these kind of questions and really kind of give people a biblical perspective on really what's going on, man. How do you feel about that?
I think it's important, brother. I think it's important. Because there is a lack of this topic as a regular topic amongst believers. And, you know, of course, the Scripture says we should have everything in common, you know what I'm saying, and come together. And we need to come together on what the book of Revelation is saying, come together on what's our actual role as believers because it's the end times. And even if it's another 100 or 1,000 years to come, we still have a duty as end-time believers. So, you know, I'm excited to get some light shed on this topic.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, absolutely. That's a good point, Ronnie. And, well, listen, guys, if you're just tuning in for the first time, we're talking about how do you feel about the end times, or do you know anything about the end times? You know, listening to the show intently tonight is going to be a good show. The guys, the number to call in if you have a question or a comment, you can call us at 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Alternatively, you can also reach us at, or email us at canwetalkradio, the number one, at gmail.com. That's canwetalkradio, the number one, at gmail.com. Well, guys, it's time for the news, and Mr. Ronnie, what do we have? What do we have going on in the world today, man?
Well, you know, I'm gonna pass around to the panel, really to see, you know, what the panel is feeling, and you know, hopefully we can get some response from callers or emails about this whole Trayvon Martin thing. And so it's like, I don't know if they haven't come to terms with a verdict yet, and they're still, like, in deliberation. And I'm noticing just from, you know, my looking on social media and, you know, hearing some people's opinions that, you know, they want justice. They want justice. But it seems that the way they've been approaching this, that it's been a little biased. Just the fact that the accused killer wasn't imprisoned and, you know, the testimony, like I've seen a little bit of the testimony and, you know, the case is not, it doesn't seem like to be, to me, a strong case for self-defense. And so just certain facts are plain to see that, you know, maybe the Zimmerman guy was out of line or crossed the line as far as, you know, taking it upon himself to be like a vigilante. And, you know, I believe that his he was told by an officer over the phone to actually stay put and let the police handle police business. And I feel that once he crossed that line, he forfeited all rights of self-defense because he left the platform of legal safety. I could understand if his person was being threatened on his property, but he actually went and disobeyed the law when they told you to stay put and you push forward. So just because this is a hot topic, I don't know, you know, the black community is upset, and I'm from like the, you know, I'm a little bit older, so I was around, we were part of the riots, you know, not necessarily because we felt injustice for Rodney King, even though that was wrong, but just I was a youngster in that time knowing that the climate of the youth was to do something about it. And, you know, we actually went out in the streets and made a mess of our own city. But I don't know if this generation is even considering anything of that magnitude. So I'm just going to pass this topic as far as Trayvon Martin's trial and, you know, how the justice system is handling it around to, like, you know, Nikki, I know you're a mom. You know, I'd like to get your take on how you feel about this Trayvon Martin thing as far as what you've been keeping up with.
Well, I haven't been able to keep up with the actual trial, but, yes, I am a mother, and I do have three teenagers, 18, 15, and 13. And not even just the racial aspect of it. I mean, of course, that's a very big issue on top of it, but just the fact that he was somebody's baby. You know what I mean? To where this guy felt so threatened, so he says, or so intimidated, as he says, where he can look at somebody's baby and take his life. I mean, the pictures that we see of Trayvon Martin, you can tell he was a baby. He was a kid.
Exactly.
And it's like you don't have enough, how do I want to say, you don't have a presence of mind enough to say, you know, this is somebody's child. He, you know, Zimmerman's mother is there testifying on his behalf. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, man, you took somebody's baby. You couldn't, you know, you're not a police officer. You're just neighborhood watch. Like, you know, so what part of the game is that where you're going to take somebody's baby's life for nothing? And the police told him, from what I understand on the news, you know, the police told him not to pursue, to leave the situation alone, and he kept on.
That's right.
So he was, to me, he was looking for trouble. And then, so once you get to that point, now you get to, okay, was it a racial thing? You know what I'm saying? And because you kept pursuing the situation, and it's like, you know, Trayvon Martin had a hoodie on or whatever, and, you know, hey, I'm going to get the riffraff out of my neighborhood, but who are you to say that he was the riffraff when you were the one who turned around and took somebody's life and you didn't even have a license to do? Nobody has a license to take anybody's life.
Nope.
So I'm disgusted about the whole situation, and I think that if Zimmerman walks, it's going to be a riot out there, too.
Yeah. I agree with you as far as when I look at his face, you know, I wasn't the roughest person on the streets or anything like that, but, you know, I've been around certain things, and to look in that little boy's face, I don't see it. I didn't see
right,
it either, you
know.
He
looks like a baby boy. He looks like 16-year-olds, how they used to look back in the day. Nowadays, you run across a 16-year-old, you might think he like 24 or 25. But this
That's
dude,
right.
he looked like a little boy.
Yeah. Yep. No tattoos, and he wasn't extra'd out. He wasn't too early. He looked like a young man. If I seen him on the street, I would know this is a young man. You know, his skin don't even look like he can handle the weather right. He looks so young.
Right,
but,
and then they're going around talking about, you know, doing toxicology reports, saying that, you know, he had marijuana in his system. When was the last time you heard of somebody getting high off weed and tripping out to where somebody felt like their life was threatened? If they didn't say PCP or cocaine. What difference? I mean, if he was smoking marijuana, of course, that was bad, but what bearings does that have on his life being taken?
Exactly. Yeah, that doesn't.
Well,
that doesn't
you know,
legit.
You know, well, you know, absolutely no, definitely. First of all, I want to let the audience know we're not advocating any kind of violence or anything like that. But you have to understand as well that when things like this happen, it shows us that a young black man's life is not taken seriously as a young Caucasian man's life would be taken as serious. And it seems as though. That, you know, in these kind of situations that, you know, it just seems there's a lot of divisiveness as far as when it comes to race is a big part in this. And I believe that Zimmerman, he's definitely at fault for even, he's not a law enforcement officer. He's not trained as a law enforcement officer. And, you know, for him to see a young man as a threat, is truly ridiculous, and I think he was out there looking for trouble, trying to exercise his muscles, and this is the result: a young man who now you've cut off his chance of a life to get married, have children, to become a better man in society. You've cut that off because of your rash, and you know, impetuous abrasiveness and desire for bloodshed, man. That's just my comment. I think that society this hidden undercover race when it comes to looking at black men's lives, I think in this country there is a big disrespect for that, and it's definitely, it may not be very obvious, but you can tell it's there.
Depends upon where you are. It's very obvious, and like I said, I do have three teenagers as well as a toddler, but My son is 15, and, you know, I've been telling him since he was, like, basically in fourth grade, you know, that unfortunately, you know, you have to live by a different standard in order to, you know, succeed in this world, and everything that you do is going to follow you as a young African-American man, and, you know, you just can't do things cavalier because, you know, for one, as Raz was saying, like, African American men, they're from slavery days, you know, their lives have been like, you know, it's nothing. They're, you know, they're interchangeable. They're disposable, basically. So,
you know, and that's a good point, Nikki. I think that is very important. As and, you know, this is why it's so important. I remember when I was a kid, my mom would not let me sag. She would not let me wear anything that would allow me to have the appearance of looking like a street thug because she didn't want me to be misconstrued out there in society. And unfortunately, we live in a world where, you know, there is racism, there is a lot of prejudice, and people tend to put you in a box. They, because of stereotypes in the media, people tend to be afraid of you. I remember when I was a kid, I was at a call box waiting just to use the phone. And there was a Caucasian lady, wanted to use the phone, and she looked back at me and saw that I was black, and she said, "If you don't go, I'm going to call the police." I'm like, "Well, here's a quarter, call the police." I'm like, "I'm not doing anything. I haven't threatened you. I haven't said anything." But because I was black and she just felt threatened, it was at nighttime, she just clearly was acting like that. So, you know, I went home and told my mom. I must have been about, 13 years old. And she told me, she said, "Son, you know, you have to be careful how you are perceived in this world. It could mean the difference between life and death." And that's so true. We have to train more of our young black men to be able to respond to when they're pulled over by police, to respond in situations, and don't be a hothead, because, you know, that could be, you know, if Trayvon had not, may have not have been, you know, exchanged, you know, it could have been, he could have been alive today. You see what I'm saying? So I think we have to, even though that situation was completely wrong, we really have to be, like Nikki was saying, we have to be very, very careful how we you know, present ourselves in society and be clever about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I didn't understand it either, but yeah, I can see the times where, you know, my mom tried to take me away from the, you know, the popular fashion because it would put me in a certain box to be
Absolutely.
Either, you know, harassed by the police or, you know, just, you know, you might be harassed by other, you know, if you're dressing like a gangster, you might attract gangsters. And so, you know, there's that aspect. And but as far as the Zimmerman guy saying that he saw a threat, who runs towards a threat if you're really threatened? You know, and so I just think that case is weak. And I'd like to, you know, encourage people. You know, like I said, I'm from a time where, you know, I'm talking like 80s and 90s, not way back. But, you know, we've seen things like Yusef Hawkins in New York. We've seen things like Rodney King in L.A. And, you know, I'm not saying be violent because that's not going to do it. If we take preventative measures, that's cool. We shouldn't react after the fact because we already lost, you know. But if we would just be aware and awake and love each other, it shouldn't take Trayvon Martin to die for us to start, you know, loving each other and being concerned about our youngsters and our teenagers and the threats that they're up against as black men or, you know, just as teenagers in society, period. I want to encourage anybody who's listening to this to start caring before a life gets taken, you know, and start looking and seeing that, you know, these Zimmermans and these other weirdos out here, we need to discern them before they take a life. And another thing that I had on my heart about this is, you know, I've seen a few rappers come out and support Trayvon Martin and stuff like that, but a lot of these same people, their music is about killing black men. Their music
Absolutely.
Is about destroying black. Their music is about destroying black communities. When you're teaching kids that you can't be nothing unless you're selling crack, and you don't even sell crack, you pushing death music on these children, and you speaking death into their lives. And they're trying to live out the things that you're talking about. So I'm just saying that the rappers out there, you got a responsibility because I bet you if the hottest rapper on the scene was dressed conservatively and respectfully, I'm sure Trayvon would have followed suit.
Absolutely.
And you couldn't put the hoodie on him. So I'm just saying, you know, we got a role to play. We can do some preventative measures like making sure our men don't look like bums and thugs, making sure our young men don't have to be covered in tattoos to be accepted in society, making sure our young men, you know, don't have to fit a certain mode to be called, you know, so-called cool. You know, good grades are cool. Healthy families are cool. Strong marriages are cool. So for the rappers out there or for people that are listening to rap, consider what they're pumping into you. You understand? And so as far as Trayvon Martin, you know, that life is lost. We can't take it. We can't even get it back. I hope that he has salvation. I hope that his family has salvation. I hope that if anyone picks anything up from it, it's that you are appointed a time to die. And sometimes you're appointed a time that's way too earlier than makes sense. So get your salvation together. Because you don't know when it's going to happen. I'm sure Trayvon didn't know that's what's going to happen to him in his life. So the urgency for salvation is strong, you know. So, but we just wish his family well, you know. And I just want that the man responsible for it go ahead and he deserves to do time for taking that life. His life should be taken for the life that he took, you know. And we do hope that he finds salvation because, you know, murderers do not make it into heaven. And so, you know, that's pretty much, I just wanted to bring that up and address it because that's what's going on right now. So for, you know, the black community or just the concerned community, you know, rioting is not the way to go. That's not going to change anything. It's not what you do afterwards that's going to do anything. It's what we do before. So as far as, you know, the people who have influence, why don't you influence these young men to be fathers and leaders and helpers and teachers? Let's influence them to be that instead of drug dealers and pimps and bums, you know, and flunkies with gold, you know, rich flunkies. That's not a true lifestyle. So that's pretty much where I'm at with the news, you know. Thank
you
guys.
Absolutely, Ronnie. You made a very good point, Ronnie, and that's true. If you don't mind, Ronnie, I mean, look it. You know, those of you who are parents, if you're listening right now, really, you know, really pay attention to the kind of music your kids are listening to. Ronnie made a very excellent point that the music is influencing our young youth at a very troubling level, in the sense that they're vicariously living their lives through these rappers. When they watch these music videos and the director says cut, they take up the chain, they take, you know, all these things. It's not real. It's an illusion. So a young man who's trying to live that life, who's trying to be an impressive young man, he can't differentiate between reality and what's fallacy. So he's going to try to, you know, I mean, I was that young man at one point in my life. So it's so important for us to really Ronnie's right. You rappers do have a responsibility. You know, you may live in your mansion and you may reflect this lifestyle of, you know, of living like a thug when you live in your mansion and you're good. But these kids are dying, man. Look at Trayvon right now. You know what I'm saying? So these are things that are very important. You have to start putting, if you truly love your people as you say you do, and truly representing your communities, then stop putting out the right messages out there. Stop reflecting, teaching these young men how to be not antisocial as far as anti-society, but being able to conduct themselves as decent human beings in this society that we live in. Teaching them how to be more godly, teaching them how to be upstanding young men with integrity and character and hardworking. Those are the qualities that get over in life. So I just want to say that, man. And Nikki, do you want anything to that at all? Or?
Oh, no. I mean, I think we ran that right on into the ground. I think every point possible was covered. I just think as parents, we have to be a little bit, you know, cognizant, especially us who have young boys. We have to be cognizant, because what I explain to my kids is everybody has a different path. God gives everybody a different path, and sometimes as parents, we try to be too friendly with our teenagers because maybe our parents were hard on us. But like with the Trayvon Martin case, his parents, as teenagers, they did things, you know, because from what I understand, Trayvon was over at, you know, the dad's house or something like that because he had been getting a little bit of trouble with his mom. And, but I'm quite sure both of his parents have gone through certain things at rebellious stages, because we all have, but it wasn't in their destiny to die as teenagers. And that's why I explain to my kids, I'm like, you know, you feel like, hey, mom, well, you got to party and you got to do all this stuff when you were a teenager, so you should be a little lenient on us. And I'm like, no, that's not the case, because what God allowed me to walk through so I can parent you don't mean that he's going to allow the same thing, you know, for you to do the same thing and then come out of it alive. So basically what I'm saying is that we have to be cognizant as parents to stay on our kids. You know, Trayvon Martin, you know, his parents was doing the absolute best that they could. But it ties right into what we're talking about. We are in the end times. Times are so different now from not only, I mean, I'm only 35, but my times are different from, say, my older brother who's 52, you know, from my mother who, if she was still alive, was 66. Times are so different from my time now just to even my kids' generation. We are in a wicked time, and that's why I think that the topic tonight is so relevant, because the end times need to be broken down in layman's terms so people can know what we're really dealing with. And even if you don't believe in God, you know something different is going on from, you know, from day to day, year to year, month to month.
Absolutely. You know, guys, Nikki, that's a very good point. You know, let's get into tonight's show, and I want to introduce for the first time on Can We Talk Radio, Mr. Dr. Curtis Dodson. He's a world-renowned teacher and lecturer on the end times as it pertains to the book of Revelations. Dr. Curtis Dodson, it's good to have you on Can We Talk Radio. How you doing, sir?
Hey, God bless you. I mean, thank you for having me on to the show.
Absolutely, Dr. Dodson. And Dr. Dodson, we're doing the show right now today on the end times, and there's going to be people out here listening right now to the show that may not be Christians and may be interested in the topic because they understand that living in the world, there's things that are happening they can't explain. They know that the world is becoming a more of a harsher place to live in. There's so much negativity going on all around us. So, Dr. D, if you will, we're going to ask some questions and try to, kind of let you have the floor, but we want to give a sort of like a layman, like Nikki said, a layman's explanation of why is the end time so significant to mankind or to human history as it pertains to the events going on in the world today. And if you can, like, let's discuss what's happening in the world today and where is this heading to? Where is the world gonna end? A lot of people are asking that question. What's going to happen? So I want to, let you take the floor, Dr. D, and let's see what you have to say.
Well, first of all, thank you, Raz, for inviting me on the show and allowing me to speak on the book of Revelation or eschatology itself. First of all, your listeners need to understand that the book of Revelation is the last chapter of the Bible. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. God is the only true and living God, and we understand that His Word is what we live by. Some people call it the roadmap to heaven. What we believe and is recorded in the Scripture, and what Revelation is, the book of Revelation is the end of the story. Life and the world and everything began in the book of Genesis, and it all concludes in the book of Revelation. And if you don't know the book of Revelation, then you don't know how the story of mankind will end, because God tells us how it will end. It's also
Dr. Lee, if you don't mind, Dr. Lee, your line's a little bit static. I was wondering if you could improve that a little bit. We're having a hard time hearing you.
Okay, can you hear me a little better now?
Yeah, there's a little bit of static still in the background there. I'm not sure if it's your location or.
Let me just say this here, that the book of Revelation is the conclusion of the story of life. We find out what's going to happen at the end times, at the end of this world, through understanding the book of Revelation. God tells us. Through eschatology, he tells us what's going to happen, and that it won't be no surprise to his church. The things that we see happening in the world today, it is written in the Bible. I mean, the stories of mankind and how mankind is going to fall. Understanding the book of Revelation will help us understand what we're going through at this time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Dr. D, let me ask you, why is the world in so much turmoil right now? Why does it seem like, since I can remember, there's so much wars going on, there's no peace in the world, there's famine, there's wars, there's hatred, there's racism. Why is the world so in such turmoil?
Well, basically the world is in turmoil because people are basically rebelling against God's way of doing things. God spelled out a way for us to live as humans on this earth. After all, he did create us. And he set his rules, his words, as a guideline for mankind to live by. But the Bible says, it asks the question, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Because the hearts of the people have turned against God. That's basically what's going on. Mankind is resisting. There's rebellion against what God has set forth, the rules and regulations he set for us to live by. And any time you go against the word of God, you're going to have friction. If you're going to have peace on this earth, you have to find peace in the word of God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a good point. Now, Dr. Lee, let me ask you, You've been teaching this subject for a long time now. Now, as far as let's talk about Bible prophecy and where, as far as biblical prophecy, where are we right now? As far as where are we in, according to that timetable? Where is the United States and where the condition of the world? Whereabouts are we? How would you define our current status as it pertains to Bible prophecy?
Well, one of the things about Bible prophecy, the Bible is not, it's a prophetic book, but to show you that its prophecies are true, true prophecies become history. And if you go into the book of Daniel, and it, in the first chapter of Daniel, it talks about, in the second chapter of Daniel, it talks about King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream of this big image. And what this big image was, it outlined our history of mankind. It went all the way from the kingdom of Babylon forward to the end times. And where we are in that prophetic statement, it went from Babylon to the Middle Persians, which are the Iranians today. It went from there to Greece, all the way to the Roman Empire. And so we find that we are in a state where we are at the last days before we go into what is known as the tribulation. And if you study in the Revelation, the second and third chapter, it's about what the seven churches. Keep in mind, the book of Revelation is written to the seven churches of Asia Minor. These seven churches talks about the seven periods of church history that takes us all the way until the end, until we go into the tribulation period. There's a church of Ephesus, the church of Smyrna, of Pergamos, Thyatira, a church of Sardis and Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Philadelphia is the church right before the rapture when Jesus is going to return. We are the church of Philadelphia. We're in that period of time that's right before the rapture, the end of the world as we know it. And so we are at probably somewhere close to midnight on the calendar as we see things happening in our world. And we know that of the seven churches, we've come through those other phases. We are that sixth church, there's seven churches, and that seventh church is going to pop up in the tribulation. We are right before the tribulation period as far as history is concerned.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, Dr. D, you talked about some very interesting things right there. You mentioned the tribulation. For those people listening right now who don't know what the tribulation is, can you explain to us what is the tribulation?
Well, the Bible lets us know that after the church is raptured out of this world, the church is caught up and raptured, that there will be a seven-year period known as the tribulation. And this would be a period of time that the devil himself will be in control of this world. It's a time that you don't want to be here. The tribulation is a period that's divided up into two different sections. You have the tribulations, which is the first 3.5 years. That's when the devil, through his man, the beast he's known as, or the Antichrist, he will rule this earth. And for the first 3.5 years, he will do his best to win friends and influence people. He will allow people to worship any god they wanted. Worship, there will be lots of jobs, things will prosper, but at the second 3.5 years, that portion is called the Great Tribulation. And after that, he will declare himself God, and he will wreak havoc. The world will turn into total chaos. There will be mayhem and death and all over the world. He will go after God's people. He will go after the Jews. And anybody that does not accept the mark of the beast, which is a 666, will be beheaded.
there will be, you won't be able to buy food or go to the hospital or be educated without the 666. At this period of time, this 7-year period of time, will be headed up by an entity known as the Antichrist, also known as the Beast.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, Dr. D, who is the Antichrist? Where is he right now, and what is his goal?
Well, who is the Antichrist, where is he, and what is his goal? Well, no one knows who the Antichrist is. I've traveled this country teaching the book of Revelation through my ministry, Wordwise Ministries, which we are located in the city of Rancho Cucamonga. And you mind if I give my phone number, by the way?
I beg your pardon?
You mind if I give the phone number to the ministry?
Oh, absolutely. Please go ahead.
Our ministry phone number is 909-296-0093. That's Wordwise Ministries. But the Antichrist, people, you know, they over the years, they've named him as many different characters. Now, most theologians feel that he might be Nero, Caesar Nero. But as far as knowing exactly who the Antichrist is, we don't really know. Where is he at? Is he here at the present time? We don't really know. But what we do know this, is that the Bible lets us know that the Antichrist is not somewhere in Washington, D.C. He's not somewhere on the south side of Chicago. He's not one of our former presidents. But that the Antichrist, we know, is going to come out of the area of the Mediterranean Sea, out of the European Union. If you go into Revelations, the 13th chapter, you will find that the Bible, where John is speaking, and John is in heaven, and God has given him the vision. And in the 13:1, John says, "And I stood upon the sands of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea." Now, what this is God is giving John the vision of where the Antichrist is going to come from. Now, in that chapter where he says, "And I stood upon the sands of the sea." Now, the sea in the book of Revelation and in prophecy is a metaphor for people, So when he's saying, "I stood upon the sands of the sea," he's talking about people. Now, when John made that statement, he was on the island of Patmos. He had been sent there by the Emperor Domitian and punished for preaching the gospel. And in the island of Patmos, sits in the Mediterranean Sea. Now, the Mediterranean Sea spans across the old Roman Empire, and it's still there. It still spans across the European Union. So what John is really saying when he says, "And I saw a beast rise up out of the sea," John is saying that I see the Antichrist, and the Antichrist is coming from among the people in the Roman Empire. And he's talking about the revised Roman Empire, which will serve as the headquarters kingdom for the beast. So if you want to know where the Antichrist is going to come from, just go to Revelation, the 13th chapter. And I believe it's also in the 9th and the 7th chapter of the book of Daniel, he talks about the Great Sea. And the Great Sea is also the Mediterranean Sea. So we know that the beast, wherever he is and wherever he's going to come from, he's going to come from the area of the old Roman Empire. And the old Roman Empire today is called the European Union. You can look that up, type that in on your computer, and you'll find that that is exactly correct.
Absolutely. Guys, if you're calling, if you're listening in for the first time, we're talking about the end times. And the number to call in with a question or comment is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Dr. D, you made some really good points in and about the Antichrist, and I want to ask you, you mentioned about the mark of the beast, and can you explain to us what is the mark of the beast and how will that affect everyday living in society?
Well, there's been a lot of talk about the mark of the beast and what it is and what it's not. You know, we don't know for sure, but I just take things practically. Because when you are dealing with a prophecy, there's a couple of rules that I normally follow. It says when common sense makes good sense, seek no other sense. So when common sense makes good sense, when you're dealing with prophecy, seek no other sense. Don't try to make it something strange or weird. There's another rule that says when you are in doubt as to whether what you're reading is literal or symbolic, choose the literal rather than trying to make something symbolic out of it. So when you're talking about the 666, I simply believe that it's a mark that's going to be upon each person. Now, what the 666 represents is during the kingdom of the Antichrist, during the tribulation, you'll have the political head of the world, which will be the Antichrist himself. He will be the political dictator of the world. Then you'll also have the spiritual dictator of the world, which would be the second beast, which is known as the false prophet. So you got the politics mixing with religion. And then on top of that, there's an economic arm of the beast kingdom, and that has to do with the number 666. Because 666, without it, you can't buy, nor sell, nor do anything economically in his kingdom unless you have the number, which is the number of man. So 666 is going to identify you as being a part of the beast kingdom. And you'll have to wear that. Otherwise, if you don't have that, you will be killed, beheaded on the spot without wearing the number 666.
Wow, that's very interesting, Dr. D. Dr. D, a question that's on a lot of people's minds is, where is the United States in all of this? With all this happening in the world, where will the United States be, and what sort of role will they be playing in the end times?
Well, you know what? There's been a lot of speculation. I heard a lot of stuff on television that said that the United States is going to play a great part in it because they're Israel's friend, and we would never turn against Israel. But that's not biblical. The Bible tells me that all the nations of the earth are going to turn against Israel. In the Bible, it doesn't place America anywhere as a significant player in end times events. Just like you see it right now, everything is going to shift over to the European Union. Why? Because prophecy said that. I've heard people say that since Israel, the Bible says that Israel is going to escape on wings of an eagle, that means that that's America because our symbol is the bald eagle. Well, God said the same thing about Israel back in the Old Testament. Was that America? No, it's not America. America has no known significant role to play in end times events. But the European Union, which is growing every day, which has the Euro, which is getting their act together, is going to be the major player during end times events. As for biblical relevance, or factual pillar of biblical knowledge or understanding, America has no role to play. And whatever America's role is at end times, they have to play it right here and right now. This is why if your listeners are involved, you need to get involved in studying the book of Revelation. And that's what we do at Wordwise Ministries. We teach people the book of Revelation. So if you want to know the book of Revelation, you need to contact Wordwise Instructional Ministries.
Dr. D, do you guys have an email address? I know you just gave your contact number. And where do you hold your lectures? Is there, because we have listeners from all over the world. We have them all around the country. How would they be able to come to one of your lectures?
Okay. First of all, I gave out our phone number, which is 909-296-0. 0093. Our Facebook page is WordWise, that's one word, WORDWISE, Instructional Ministries on Facebook. Go on there and just check us out. Our email address is 1, the number 1, Revelation, 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 1Revelation, at wordwiseministries.org. If you want to know more about the Book of Revelation, we travel all over the United States of America teaching the Book of Revelation and all throughout the state of California. We're California-based. And every Monday night at 6:30, I'm up teaching the Book of Revelation at the Central Park Community Center in the beautiful city of Rancho Cucamonga, California. Our classes are free. You can earn your certification in the Book of Revelation. You will learn how to teach or understand the Book of Revelation if you will come out every Monday night to 11200 Baseline Road in the city of Rancho Cucamonga, California.
Well, guys, you heard it, Dr. Curtis Dobson. Listen, Dr. Curtis Dobson, before we're going to open the line for some questions and comments from the other panelists tonight. And before I do that,
yes,
Doctor, I want to ask you a couple of quick questions. And, I mean, you said some really powerful things so far. And a lot of people are wondering about the Illuminati. They're wondering about politics. And if you look at politics today, and especially in the United States, it seems that it's going nowhere. You know, and around the world, there's a lot of corruption going on. How does this all fit into the end times? And also wanted to ask you, Dr. D, is why is God allowing this to happen? I mean, what's his ultimate plan for the world? Where is this going to head to?
Well, God has always had a master plan for humanity. God didn't make humanity to hurt them. God made us all because he wanted to share his blessings with us. God made us for his pleasure, and that we might serve him. And what he means by his pleasure is just like when a couple who is in love, they love each other so much until they decide they want to have a baby so they can share that love with, and all that they have, they want to bring the pleasures of their lives into that child's life. That's what God wanted to do. He wanted to bring the pleasures that he has in heaven, into our lives. So he made us in his likeness and image so we can one day get through this little small test called life and be with him forever. Now, as far as politics, let me tell you something. One of the things that is going to be the hallmark of knowing what Antichrist's kingdom is politics. Keep in mind that the Antichrist himself is going to be the political head of the world. It's dangerous what we are doing as a church, getting involved in politics. Our politics should be teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where our politics should go. We should be out there telling people that there's hope in hopeless times. There's a light in dark times. There's a bomb in Gilead. God can heal you. Young man, young woman, God can turn you around. He can change your life. He can take you out of that drug habit. He can deliver you. Not talking a bunch of politics. What politics fit in, politics should fit in after the gospel. There's so many religious preachers that's preaching politics, but they're not preaching Jesus these days. The Bible says, if I be lifted up, if I be lifted up, and he has no one to lift us up but Christ himself, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So whatever the condition in this world, the key to the success of it is the church of Jesus Christ going out and teaching the gospel. Because the Paul said it like this here, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. If had knew that Christ was their Savior rather than finding out who they're going to vote for. If we, the church, would be out Sunday mornings rather than going to all the restaurants, just go to some of the rest homes and some of the prisons and juvenile facilities and take the gospel, we would see a change in the world, because you cannot vote morals here. You cannot legislate moral values. That we are the moral compass of this world, and we are the church, and we are failing people. We've been naming it and claiming it. We've been trying to get our blessing, but we haven't been telling the people about the loving, saving, transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Wow. Guys, you heard it. Dr. Dodson's is in the building. Guys, if you're just listening for the first time, we're discussing the end times. If you've ever wondered why the world is so messed up and so in such turmoil, tune in right now as Dr. D is explaining what's going on in the world as it pertains to biblical prophecy. Guys, the number to call in is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Dr. D, before we open up to the other panelists, I had one more question for you. Now, you mentioned the Antichrist will actually come into the world and present himself and be a political leader. So when that happens, what will then follow, and how will God correct what's the evil that's going on in the world?
Well, what's going to happen is that the Antichrist will have a 7-year reign, and that is the whole span of the tribulation period, a 7-year period for him to do his thing. Now, the people that are there with him are the people that were not raptured. They were not ready when Jesus came, okay? God has given you and me a chance right now to accept Christ as our personal Savior, that we won't have to go into the tribulation. In fact, he says, don't go there. But when it does start, it's going to be a horrible, horrible period of time. But there's a purpose for the tribulation. There's three main purposes for the tribulation. First of all, well, I always say four. One is to purge sin from the earth. Number two is to punish the men who are on the earth, because at that time they'll be killing the saints for what they've done. Number three, it will be to reconfigure the earth for Christ's millennial kingdom that's going to come following the tribulation. But the main objective of the tribulation is to chastise the Jews who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior as yet, but whose eyes will come open during the tribulation, and by that halfway point, they will start accepting Christ as their personal Savior, because God's promise was to the Jews. Jesus' promise was to the church. So Jesus promised the church that I'm going to come back for you. So he came back for the church during the rapture and took them out. Now God, in the tribulation, is going to return to unfinished business with the Jews, where he made the promise to Abraham in Genesis, the first chapter, the 12th verse. He made promises to Abraham, which is called the Abrahamic covenant, but it was never finished because the Jews would not do what they were supposed to do. The Jews were supposed to be number one, and not necessarily order of importance. They were supposed to be a nation, to be an example nation, to show how God could bless a nation if they served the only true and living God. Number two, they were to be God's mouthpiece, God's oracle, and to be talking of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, to the nations. And number three, they were here to birth Jesus Christ through the nation of Israel. So after all of this is over, after the 7-year period of time, now the period called the millennium will begin. Jesus Christ will come back. The devil will be bound up for 1,000 years. Jesus will come back and establish his millennial kingdom, and millennial means 1,000. He will establish his millennial kingdom here on this very earth. God is going to get victory. Yes, Adam lost it, but Jesus is going to come back and claim this land, and for 1,000 years, is going to reign here in a whole new, redesigned, refurbished earth as it was in the days of Adam and Eve. And he's going to, we're going to live with him for 1,000 years here on this earth.
Wow, that's a powerful comment there, Dr. D. I want to open up the floor now to Ronnie and Nick here. Ronnie, do you have anything to any questions for Dr. D?
I'd like to thank you, Dr. D, and you know I respect your teachings and appreciate your knowledge.
Thank you.
And I would like for you to elaborate for myself and for the listeners why the Bible, as opposed to any other holy book or any other religious book, what is it about the Bible that makes it the way to go and follow?
What's your name again?
It's why the Bible as opposed to the rest of the books and teachings and doctrines out there.
Wow. Okay, Doctor, just ask you what your name was. Let me just say this.
Oh, here. It's Ronnie.
Ronnie, okay. Hello, Ronnie. Let me just say this here. And I want your listeners to understand this, and I want you to hear this. Of all the so-called holy books out there, the Bible is the only true and living God's word. The Bible is the only book that is 30% prophecy. 30% of God's word is prophecy. Now, correct prophecy always becomes history. History can be checked. You can take history, biblical history, all the way back until the beginning. Now, every now and then, in fact, just a few weeks ago in my class, I brought in a college history book, and I taught the Bible out of the history book, going all the way back to the Egyptians. And I showed them, and I went into Daniel, and I showed them where Daniel said something, and I showed them in the history book where the history book said the same thing. The history book showed it from the secular or man's point of view, and the Bible spoke of it from the biblical, but it was the exact same event. And then I would read something about Nebuchadnezzar, and then about Cyrus and Darius. These are his people in history. And then about Alexander the Great. And then I was shown where the Bible said the same thing. But the Bible wrote it, it was written in the Bible 200 to 300 years before Alexander the Great was ever alive. 200 to 300 years before there was ever Cyrus or Darius at that time. 200 to 300 years before these events happened, but there they were in the Bible, and the Bible not only talked about the events, he named the names and kingdoms. It named names and kingdoms. So the prophecies of the Bible can be checked because they are historic now. And most of the prophecies in the Bible has already taken place. And for those people that don't know that, you can't say that about any other holy book. Because the Bible connects with the history that is history on this earth. It's not some la-la land or la-la-la. The Rome in the Bible is the Rome that's over in Rome. The Rome in the Bible is the Rome in your history books. The Alexander the Great in the Bible is the Alexander the Great in your history books. The Cyrus, the Darius, all those stuff connects to history that you know, that you study, and that you research to this very day.
Absolutely. Dr. D, if you don't mind, could you adjust your mic a little bit? I think we're having a little bit of distortion when you're speaking.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, Ronnie, do you have any other questions for Dr. D?
Thank you, Dr. D. You know what? If I had another question, it would be something to the effect that, like, you might have some people out there that would say, okay, here's the question I would have. You might have some people out there that would say, well, I'm living for today, and I don't need to look into the future, and I don't need eschatology. What would you say to that position?
Well, you know what? You know, one thing about knowing God, it's a spiritual thing. I mean, people have their opinions on a lot of things. I mean, there are people who choose to live for today, you know, but if you're going to live for today, then you need to have the knowledge for today. The Bible says, just give me this day my daily bread. What that simply means is, God, whatever I need for this day, whatever the knowledge is. So if the knowledge that what you need for the day is going to help you to understand today, then you need God's knowledge for this day also. It's not just man's knowledge. Are you seeking today? If you say that you don't need knowledge for tomorrow, then you are dying. You are a living organism. Everything you do right now, it should be with tomorrow in mind also. So whatever, if you're living for now, then seek God for now. Seek him right now. And ask him, God, you, if you are out there, if you want to use me, then you talk to me. Be in the present. Okay, well, be in the present with God also. Not just with Snoop Dogg or with the television or with the Lakers or with the Boston Celtics. Be in the present with God also. If you're going to live today, then be in the present with God. Because let me tell you something. How in the world can you believe that there's a John Smith, Antonio Vasquez, but you don't believe that there's a Jesus Christ? You can believe that there's a you, but you don't believe that there's a God out there that made you. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? Be in the present, yes, but be with God in the present. Be conscious with God in the present. God said, all I ask you to do is you seek me. And if you don't want to do it for tomorrow, do it for right now. He said, and you will find me.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Dr.
Yeah, that's a good point. Nikki, you've been kind of quiet. What do you have any questions for Dr. V?
I do, but it will be more so for our listeners, both secular and believers. Dr. V, since you said that you made a point of saying that 30% of the Bible is prophecy, what would you say, and considering that the Word does say, God does say in his Word that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that he changes not, what would you say to leaders, to preachers, and to people in general who say that that there are no more modern-day prophets, that time is over, that there's just, I mean, what do you say to that?
Well, put it like this here. There are, well, Paul, when he was, you know, when he was given this rhetorical speech, he was saying, do all speak in tongues? He said, do all prophesy? Do all, the answer was no, everyone doesn't, but the obvious conclusion is that some do. You understand? So, just by the very quick, God, church still has some of everything. He installed prophets in the church. And there are times when he may not have a prophet around, but he'll give you a prophecy. You know, he may need somebody to carry somebody a word. It may not be your office, but if you are a saint of his, he may say, I need you to give that person a word. You understand? God's church is still God's church. Yeah, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, what God wants, whether it's prophet, preacher, what have you, he wants people who have humbled themselves. He wants people who are willing to fast, pray, and to seek him for what to say. Now, a lot of times prophets think they can only carry doom and gloom. But God wants people, because he wants prophets that's going to build up the church, the body of Christ, to come and edify the church. That's the gospel is good news. I mean, every now and then a prophet should be able to come up and say, you know, God is going to bless you. God has told me that he's pleased with your life, but he wants you to study a little more in his word. Not just God is going to strike you down or strike you here or there, but make sure whatever you are, in-church prophet or whatever, that you're led by the Lord. So, yes, the church can have prophets these days because the church do have prophets. In fact, when any time, when you're speaking the word of God, that is prophecy. The word of God is prophecy. Everything you speak in the word of God is prophecy. It's prophetic. It's a prophetic book, even though it becomes a historic book.
So why do you think that it is that people have, of course, you know, you have pastors, you have evangelists, you have teachers, and it seems that, you know, even in the church, I'm talking about the church at this point, it's okay to accept those offices, but why do you think that they have such a hard time with the office of accepting the office of a prophet?
Well, I think because it's just the times that we live in. And then you have so many people who, you know, who will just jump into an office of a prophet. I mean, just like you have a lot of people who are jumping into the office of pastor or whatever it is. I think that sometimes these things get clouded because we see, we know prophets like Jeremiah and what have you. But it used to be what happened, the reason you needed a prophet, the prophets, because it's usually the kings and the priests were not being responding to God. And so he would send a prophet from the outside to preach to the people and to the inside. And so I think people are leery of prophets because they see this as an office where people are getting their words and what they directly from God. And a lot of people don't believe these days that people can actually speak for God. But if God can use a rooster and a donkey, he still uses men and women to speak for him. However, there's a lot of people who are saying they're speaking for God, and it's just their own righteous indignation, or it's just a point that they want to get across. But God, but here's what God said in the scripture. Receive the prophet. You will know whether or not it's correct or not if it comes to pass. Bible says, simple as that. If it comes to pass, the Bible says that was a prophet. If it didn't, if it doesn't come to pass, then that wasn't a prophet from God. It's not for us to sit around and pick and choose our prophets by how they look, how much money they got, or what, or they're on television. Sometimes people think everybody on television is right, and you can listen to anybody, but unless you got a TV show. And the word that God has for your life, not for Los Angeles, not for New York City, but the word that God has for your life. When I gave my life to God, he used a six-year-old girl to give me a word. He used a six-year-old girl to give me a word. The word for my life was in a six-year-old child sitting next to me that changed my life. So we have to be careful about who we, you know, picking and choosing. I don't believe this and I don't believe that. You speak to God. Okay, Lord, I got a word from this person. Is this you? I want to know. See, we have to have our own personal relationship with Christ. See, God don't deal with nations anymore. He doesn't. That was back in the days of Moses. But when Jesus died, the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. And he says, look, I'm no longer dealing with the nations. I'm dealing with you as an individual. I am a personal Savior now. He said, now you can come boldly before me. You can come boldly to the throne of grace. So you need to have a personal relationship. I mean, if I gave you a prophecy right now, just because I'm on the radio, it doesn't mean I'm a prophet. But God could have given me a word, or it could have been a word for me. But with your own personal relationship, you go to Jesus. You say, Father, Lord Jesus, I want you to lead me. You direct me as to what this prophecy means in my life, what it means something. That's when you're establishing a love relationship with your Jesus. And that's when salvation becomes sweet and powerful, when you know God for yourself.
That's powerful, Dr. D. Dr. D, we have a I had an email question from Dennis Boris, and he was asking, does the Mayan calendar have any relevance in the end times, and how does it fit into biblical prophecy? Can you explain to us about the Mayan calendar?
The Mayan, the Maya calendar.
Yeah, his question is, Dr. D, was he's asking about the Mayan calendar and how does it, he's heard about that, how does it fit into the end times as it pertains to biblical prophecy, if at all?
Well, to be honest with you, the Mayan calendar has nothing to do with biblical prophecy. Everything that has to do with the end time prophecies is spelled out in the Word of God. There's always been. They got Da Vinci codes. They got the Mayan calendar. Man is always coming up with something because all this stuff, it sells. It makes money. It gets people popular. But everything you need to know about how the world is going to end, it comes from the person who made the world. You don't need the Mayans. The Mayan calendar, I mean, they found out that was all a fluke anyway. It's just a misinterpretation of some words that was missing off the Mayan calendar. And people interpret it this way and interpret it that way. Man is going to always interpret things to his advantage, especially if you get it popular. They can sell books or what have you. But it has nothing to do. Because it is not found, if it's not profiled in Scripture, it has nothing to do with anything. Because God turned everything on in Genesis, and he is the one that's going to turn everything off in the book of Revelation. Everything you need to know about the end times, God has it written, but somewhere between Genesis and the book of Revelation. It's not in the Mayan calendar, the Da Vinci code, or anything like this. What we should be looking to is God, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, which the Bible tells us it is in him we live, we move, and have our existence on this earth. That's where we live. The Mayan calendar has absolutely nothing to do with end times events. People don't like to hear that because people like to go to their card readers and their mystics and their spiritualists and all of this here. But the Bible is just straight up. It's a book. It's God's word to humanity. It's the only word to humanity. And it's the book that if the world followed it like it's written, the world would benefit so much from the beginning and to the end.
Absolutely. I want to take a call real quick. We have a caller from the 626 area code. Hello, caller from the 626 area code. Do you have a question or comment for Dr. Curtis Dodson? Call from the 626 area code. Okay, I guess they're just listening. All right, and
okay.
I'm going to go to the second phone line here. We have a caller from the 951 area code. Hello, caller from the 951 area code. Do you have a question or comment for Dr. Curtis Dodson? Okay, I guess not. I guess guys, they're kind of shy tonight, Dr. Curtis. I guess they're just listening in.
Okay.
Absolutely. Dr. D, I want to ask you, I've been hearing talks about World War III, and do you think there's going to be a third world war? I mean, with all the rise of wars going on in the world with Syria and Egypt and Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran and all these things going on, let's even look at North Korea, for example. I mean, is there going to be another world war happening that leads to the end times?
Well, I'm just as cautious as everybody else, and I listen to the news and I read the newspapers. But I kind of come from a practical aspect, Raz. I'm like this here. I hear people on the television saying we got a Ahmadinejad might want to bomb Israel, and this nation want to take Israel out, and we have to do this or do that. But then again, I read the Bible, and I'm like, whose report are you going to believe? I don't care who you are, on television, radio. If you could show me somewhere in the Bible where somebody is going to take Israel out, I'll believe Ahmadinejad's report. God's report says that Israel is going to go on into the tribulation, and that I don't see anywhere where Israel is going to be taken out. So why would I get upset about what my demigod? I'm reading what the only true and living God has to say about it. I believe that that Israel, that God, the Bible tells us that God protects Israel. He's Israel's protector. If he has to use us, whatever he has to do, God protects Israel. It's not going to be, Israel's going to go into the tribulation. The World War III, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen in God's time. God is going to bring this world to a conclusion, but he's not going to bring it to a conclusion until after the millennial period. Now, mankind has always had war. Mankind will always have war. But mankind, it's going to be God that destroys mankind. It won't be man that destroys mankind. It's going to be God that destroys mankind. And this is after you got the Battle of Armageddon that takes place after the tribulation period. And then you have the Battle of Gog and Magog that takes place after the thousand-year reign. And that's when God is going to destroy all of those people that will not serve him. That's when there's going to be the Great White Throne Judgment. All the sinners are going to be judged. And that's when eternity is going to be canceled. I don't see anywhere in the Bible that a World War III is going to destroy the Bible. Now, we have to guard against these little events. Many times people say, well, that happened, and so that means this. Look, everything that's happening right now is not the defining event that's going to charge, that's going to change the world. Everything is a straw on the camel's back. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not the defining event. Oh, well, he did this and we got to do that. No, it's not the defining event that's going to change. But everything is a straw on the camel's back, whatever it is over in the Middle East. Because Israel is God's time clock. We are to watch the Middle East to tell us that when it's how soon Christ is going to return, how soon the tribulation is going to begin. But we got to be careful about saying that this event over in Iraq or this event in Iran is to cause, it's going to cause the World War III or it's going to cause Jesus to come back. We have to be very careful. But just know that every one of those events does a little bit more to push the hands on the clock towards 12, but it may not be the one that shoves it all the way there.
Absolutely. That's a good point. Dr. D, we're running out of time, but real quick, I wanted just to quickly, you talked about the rapture, and for those people who don't know, what is the rapture? And you know, and my second question to you, last question would be is, based upon everything you said tonight, how do people, what should people's mindset be, or how should they prepare themselves in these end times?
Okay, how should they prepare themselves? Well, the rapture is a time. Remember, Christ promised the church. He says that I go to prepare a place for you. He was talking to his church, his bride. And that's those who have been redeemed, washed in his blood. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. He says that where I am, ye may be also. He says, because in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, if I go, I'm going to come and receive you unto myself. He's talking to his bride, the church. Now, if you in my class, there's a lot of significance to that. We learn about how it fits in with all this Hebrew legalities and what have you. But Christ is saying, I'm going away, and he went away. He said, but I'm going to come again, and I'm going to receive you. Now, in, I think it's 2 Thessalonians 4:16, it says, for the Lord, this is talking about Jesus, himself shall descend. He shall come down with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, the trump of the Lord, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They're going to rise. They're going to get up. Those who are dead, who died believing in Jesus or having Christ as their personal Savior, died living for God, they're going to rise first. And then Paul goes on to say, and we which remain are alive and remain, we shall be caught up to meet them in the air. Now, we have people that go around saying, well, there's no word rapture in the Bible, so how can it be true? Well, there's no chocolate ice cream in the Bible either, but there's chocolate ice cream. I mean, there's no roller skates in the Bible, but there's roller skates. Rapture is an event. It doesn't have to be a word. Rapture is from the Greek word rapido, and it means to be caught up, snatched away. The church is going to disappear off the face of the earth. When Jesus comes back, we're just going to be caught up, caught away. We're going to disappear. And everybody else that doesn't have Christ as their personal Savior, they're going to be left behind to deal with the period of the tribulation. So the rapture is when Christ comes back for his bride, the church, and takes them out of this earth and takes them to a heavenly place.
That's powerful, Dr. D. Dr. D, listen, we're coming to the end of the show, and I just want to ask our co-host Ronnie and Nikki if there's any last comments for Dr. D. Ronnie?
No, I just want to, maybe if you could one more time, let everybody know how they can get in touch with you, you know, phone number, email, and where you teach on Mondays.
Okay, well, thank you. And God bless you. Raz, I really appreciate this opportunity. Our phone number for WordWise Instructional Ministries is area code 909-296-0093. That's 909-296-0093. Our email address is 1, that's the number 1, Revelation, R-E-V-E-L-A-T-I-O-N, at WordWise, that's one word, W-O-R-D-W-I-S-E, W-O-R-D-W-I-S-E, WordWise Ministries, MINISTRIES.org. And every Monday night, we teach the Book of Revelation at 11200 Baseline Road, in the city of Rancho Cucamonga at Central Park. That's 11200 Baseline Road in the city of Rancho Cucamonga, California.
Absolutely. Nikki, do you have any last words about Curtis Dawson?
No, I don't. I just want to say thank you, Dr. D, for coming on the show and sharing your knowledge. I mean, it was greatly appreciated and greatly needed.
Well, thank you so much. I enjoyed being a part of the program, and I would hope that somewhere in the future that I have another opportunity to come on if it's okay with Raz. So thank you.
Oh, absolutely,
I really feel privileged to have been a part of this broadcast.
You know, Dr. D, I just want to thank you for coming on the show. I would love to have you back, and we just scratched the surface. I mean, there's so much into this topic that really is really profound, and Dr. D, you have a lot of wisdom and a lot of things to say on this topic. So, Dr. D, I just want to thank you so much for coming on the show, and we'll definitely have you back again. And I want to give a big shout out to WordWise Ministries, to Mildred, to her husband. I want to give a shout out to my co-host Nikki. Thanks for being on the show. To Ronnie, thanks for being on the show. And to Alicia, who couldn't be on the show today. So, guys, you know, this is Can We Talk Radio. We had a good show today on the end times. Tune in same time next week. And I am your host, Raz Williams. This show is coming to you live every Friday from 8 till 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So, guys, can we talk? Have a blessed weekend. Peace.